So I'm going to be here for the next 15 months. So that will either be a good thing for you or something that's not going to last forever. But what I was thinking about to start with, which is a bit of a shame because there's a beautiful atmosphere of worship, is taking a step back from how we know our role in life. And thinking about a few hundred years ago, so I want you to imagine that we're not in Liberton in 2013. We're in Liberton in 1613. And there's a career service available for people in the area. I don't know if you've ever had any contact with the career service, either at school or after school. But their whole job is to try and help you find your job. What you find quite often is that there must be somebody that they come to and they go, "You ever thought about the career service?" But I've never met anyone that was. So just imagine it's 1613, and up here is ye olde worldy career service. In fact, down here's my little sign. What's this weather where the props get going? This is like really. Tell you, no expense was spent on that prop. So I'm the advisor. Just going to make myself at home. Next, hey, good morning and welcome to Ye Olde Worldly Career Service. And what's your name?
John,
welcome, John. Well, in order to match you to a suitable career, can I ask your surname?
Thatcher.
Excellent. Well done. Well, on the basis of that in-depth analysis, we think you'd be really suited to a job as a Thatcher. So thank you for coming and all the best with it. Cheerio. Next. Good morning and welcome to Ye Olde Worldly Career Service. Can I ask your name?
John.
Welcome, John. Well, in order to match you to a suitable career, can I ask your surname?
Yes, it's Smith, John Smith.
Yes, Smith. Excellent. Well, on the basis of that in-depth analysis, we think you'd be really suited to a job as a Smith. So off you go. Thank you for coming. All the best. Next. Good morning and welcome to Ye Olde Worldly Career Service. Can I ask you, what is your name?
John.
Oh, well, John, I can see that you are a lady. And so I do not need to conduct our in-depth analysis. Instead, I can give you our lady career guide. Nun or babies? Now, we realise you're probably illiterate, so it's just pictures. There's a picture of a nun and a picture of a baby. Now you go away, come back in a week and let me know which one you'd like to do. Thank you very much. All the best. Next. A good morning and welcome to Ye Olde Worldly Career Service. And can I ask, what is your name?
John.
Very good, John. Well, in order to match you to a suitable career, can I ask your surname?
Help desk. John IT.
John, I dear. Well, I'm very sorry, but, well, I don't think there's much hope for you. But whilst you're unemployed and your son's unemployed and your grandson's unemployed, let them know that your great-great-great-great-grandchildren are never going to be out of work. Thank you very much. Off you go. Goodbye. Well, there you go. It's not like that anymore, eh? But this thing of actually, you would just do what your dad did if you were a boy. And there really was those two options of going into the cloisters, going to be a nun, or having kids if you were a woman. And that was it. So we think we've got it all kind of a wee bit more figured out now. But actually, knowing your role in life is a really, really difficult thing to get your head around. And everybody's got an opinion. Whether it's your parents or your pals or a teacher or someone that you work with who thinks they know what you should be doing. So trying to find out what is our role in life can be really hard. There we go, this is working, we're off and running. But what makes it worse, actually, is it's not just that other people have opinions, but they tell you them in ways that don't actually help. Maybe you might recognize some of these things. Labels that get stuck on you at different points in your life. You don't have to put your hands up to these. But they're the kind of things that get said over folk and they stick. You know these names that stick? I don't know which ones are ones that you've heard or maybe ones that you've said. But they hurt. And they go deep. And so we think that in 2013, we're not stuck into doing what our dad did, or nuns or babies. But actually, some of these words start to shape us and start to mold us and start to point us in a certain direction. So you get told at school, well, you're no good at numbers. So you think, all right, I'm no good at numbers. And off you go, forgetting about maths and everything. I've got a friend who was told she was stupid at school. And she's 50 and she's just submitted her PhD. Yes, that'll tell them. But she believed it for years. So these things can stick. And then working out what your role is in life gets trickier. Because you've been kind of shaped and molded in a way that's drawn you away from where you might be of best use or most fulfilled. So rather than looking at what others say, what is it that God says about us? This list is a wee bit different. You're a child of God. And you're beloved. Isn't everyone a child of God? Absolutely. Absolutely. So what if we're all children of God, then none of us are special? Feels that way sometimes, eh? You're like, well, everyone's a child of God, so nobody's really very special. But the list keeps going, so you're bang on. You're unique. There's nobody else in the world that God loves the way God loves you, or the way God loves me, or the way God loves any of us, because he knows us so well that he celebrates and values what it is that we bring that nobody else does. And you're precious. You're not just a robot that God's got a job for and you just go off and do it until you break down. But actually, to God, you're precious. You're incredibly valuable. And you're gifted. That's a way of, you know, a gift, I think, is something that you get at Christmas. But if you think of the things that God's put in you from when you were born, things that will come out years later, but God put them in there right from the start because he knew that one day they would come out. And more than that, you're a gift. Now, if the first few weren't melting your head a wee bit, by the end of the list, wow, it's quite challenging, actually, to believe all these things in the face of some of the other stuff we hear. That we're a gift. But we're just going to hear a wee bit from Ephesians now. And it's from chapter 4 of Ephesians. So you can look it up if you want to. I don't know the page number. Have you got the page number in the Pew Bibles? 1175. If you want to look it up. We're starting at verse 7. And this is just a wee passage where God starts to explain what it means to be a gift. Some amazing words there about what God does. And this idea that God's not going, right, let's make Christians and we'll make them all the same and they'll all look the same and they'll all do the same thing and they'll all get it right all of the time. And instead, we've got this incredible hodgepodge of folk. Folk who don't know God, folk who are beginning to know God, folk who thought they knew God and then have found out that he's not who they thought he was. And all the way through it, God's not going, right, if you become a Christian, this is what it's got to look like. That's it, and there's no other way of being. There are some general parameters that are generally accepted as going, well, hang on a minute. Maybe that lifestyle that you had before is not going to cut it now. But within the freedom of God's gifts to us, there's an incredible range of ways of serving him. I love this bit that it says about no longer being infants tossed back and forth. Because it's really easy to hear something and be like, ah, right, I think that's it. And then the next day you hear something else and you're over here. And this idea of like, infants and waves are not a good combination. But God wants us to grow up mature and he wants us as a body to grow up in unity. And so there's something that God is doing about knitting us together. And not knitting us with one colour, but knitting us with all the different colours that we bring. That's a textile reference, Nick. See that? There's not just the one colour. There's not just the one fabric. There's not just the one texture. But God uses all of it and brings it all together. But he also says it was him who gave some to be apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. These are gifts that God's given the church. And for some, they've thought, well, there's a wee group of very special people, and they're the apostles and prophets and evangelists and teachers and pastors. And there's this realization that actually, these are ways in which we all function within the body of Christ. So it's not just for the specialists. Thank goodness. But it's for everyone. But they're funny kind of terms. And some of the reason why they're funny terms is because we've just taken them from the Greek and we haven't actually translated them. So apostles is from the Greek apostolos. So I don't know whether someone was just having a day off and they thought, well, let's call them apostles because it's Greek for apostolos. But it actually means the sent ones. So we've got apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. And if you've been following this book about life shapes, you'll know that this is the pentagon. But you'll also see here that I've really struggled to make it a pentagon. I kind of went for five circles that looks a wee bit like a rose. It's a kind of blossoming and flourishing thing. So, and that's my gift. That's my way of looking at things. So if the pentagon works better for you, think about the pentagon. If you're looking at this and going, I quite like the wee circles, it's a wee bit more friendly. So there's different ways of looking at it. But just looking quickly, well, what do these things mean? Apostles are the sent ones. They're on a mission. God said, right, go and do something. And they're off. And it's new stuff that gets them really excited. Let's start something. Let's get it going. Let's innovate. Something that's never been done before. And the risk here, if you've just got a bunch of apostles, you've just got a bunch of folk who are like, right, come on, let's do it. And it's really exhausting. These guys can be really tiring to be around. But it's a gift and it's a good one. Prophets. Again, it's prophetai, the Greek, so they've not been working too hard. But it's the ones who interpret and speak forth. It's this thing of listening to God and listening to what's going on around and trying to hear what God's saying to culture and what culture's saying about God and pulling these together, which leads to a whole range of prophetic works. And these are the folk that really care about imagining. What if? Imagine the world was like this. What if we started to follow God? Wouldn't things look different? But the risk with them, sometimes you haven't a scooby what they're on about. These are real creative folks, you know, the artists and the poets, the singers. And half the time, their head's so far up in the clouds that you have to pull them back down. Like, what was that? So there's this risk of being flaky. Just be, what's this about? Evangelists. That may be a word that you've heard of, but again, we've just taken it from the Greek, evangelion, and it just means good news. So these are the folk who tell the good news. And it's all about persuading. And you get folk, it doesn't even have to be about God or the gospel. It can be about a film someone saw last week. You know how some people will go to the cinema and they'll watch a film and they'll come home and they'll think, that was a nice film, I enjoyed that. Other people go to the cinema, watch the film and say, you've got to go and see that film. It's absolutely brilliant. Come on, we'll go next week. There's your evangelists. They care about persuading. They've seen something, they've tasted something good, and they want everybody to have a piece of it. But the risk here is that they're so busy getting everybody in. Come and see this film, come and see this film. Sorry, what's your name again? You know? This hit the card. There's a real risk of being shallow, that there's not the depth of relationship with folk here. So the pastors. Well, actually, the word in the Greek is shepherd. And it's trying to give this impression of the guy that looks after the sheep is the one that's got to keep them safe at night from all the beasts that want to eat the sheep. And he's got to look after them through the day when they go off wandering and getting themselves into trouble. And it's this idea of care. So the pastors, they really care about caring. It's all about the caring. Oh, we love the caring. Come and have a hug. And again, it's a brilliant gift that God's given us. These are the folk that sometimes you sit down with someone and you tell them something and they start to cry about what you're saying because they feel it. They really feel what it is that you're going through. What a gift that is. But that desire to gather everyone in and keep them safe can be a risk because when the apostles come along going, right, let's do something new, the pastors there are going, well, hang on a minute, guys, you know. Let's not go too quickly here. We want to keep everybody on board. And so there's a risk of keeping everything too safe because we don't want anyone to get hurt. We know what's happened before. And then we've got the teachers. So at least we managed to come up with a word that wasn't actually just the Greek word. So now we're in home territory. Yeah, I've heard of a teacher. I know what that is. The ones who explain stuff. And they care about understanding. You know, you speak to folk who are in teaching, whether it's in school or in other situations, and they say the thing that really lights them up is when they go, it's like this. And someone goes, it's like that. That light bulb moment. And that's what floats their boat. But there's a risk with teachers that they're so obvious, they just want to explain things all the time. This is how this works. And you ask them a simple question, and 10 minutes later, you're still there. Because they want to tell you the principle behind the thing. So there's a risk of them being dry and you're switching off because you're just being overloaded with information. So any one of these things on their own, and the church that you've got isn't so great. But together, God's given us these gifts, and together they build us up. Together they bring us into unity. So we need them all. But actually, there's been a question here, and it's been sitting here the whole time. And it's one that underpins the whole thing. Who are you? And what can you contribute? Because these things, these apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors and teachers, these are things that we can bring to the church. Well, I'm like this. I love telling people about stuff. Let me in on it. Or, I love caring for folk. That's what really lights me up. Great. Come on, there's a role for you. But underneath that, we need to know where it is that we sit in these things. What is it that really makes us flourish and come alive? Because if we're spending all our time somewhere else, if we love telling folk about God and the good stuff he's done, and people keep asking us to have coffee with folk who've been Christians for a long time and get alongside them and help them in their journey, we're like, oh, this is not me. And it's good to do stuff that's out with your comfort zone, but it's good to know what it is that really makes you tick. And that was the trouble 400 years ago, because you got some thatchers who are the guys that make the straw roofs, and they loved it. They totally loved it. Their dad was a thatcher. Their granddad was a thatcher. They're brilliant. I'm a thatcher. That's smashing. And some folk going, this is not me. This is terrible. And that conflict that comes from being in the wrong place. And we've kind of gone the other way now, and we're all like, right, don't worry about what your parents did. Don't worry about what your pals are doing. What is it you want to do? And you're thinking, I don't know. Why is it we don't know? Because I think it's because we don't know who we are. And when we know who we are, then we can answer, what can you contribute? Does that make sense, that way around of looking at it? Work out who you are, and then you'll be able to know what it is you can contribute. But the other way we've kind of got it a wee bit out of kilter again is that we think we can do this on our own. So, right, off you go, everyone. Come back in a week. Tell me who you are and what it is you want to contribute. Doesn't quite work that way. We need one another. So if you remember back to those labels at the start, they were the labels and the imprints of bad things that people put on us. But actually, we're never going to answer these questions on our own. God knew that. And he wants us to be mature, so he gives us one another as a gift of discovering who it is that we are. So yeah, there's a lot you can do on your own. And there's a lot you can do by looking at the Bible and looking at what it is that God says about you. Those things we were thinking about earlier, that's a brilliant foundation to start on. But then we bring other folk in. And we go, right, well, if I'm a child of God and I'm unique, what is it that I've got to contribute? And that's a question to keep asking. One of my bugbears is when people talk about this generation, and I never know whether I'm allowed to think of myself as this generation or not. And you're looking around trying to work out whether you're allowed to be part of this generation. Because God's given us these generations to help one another. So it's about asking your pals, and it's about asking folk loads younger than you, who do you think I am? What do you think I can contribute? Asking people loads older than you, who do you think I am? What do you think I can contribute? Because all of us together can figure it out. So this key question that underpins this, who are you? And it's a big one. It's a big one. And it's one that recurs at different points in your life. You know, you think you've got it figured out. You go through your amazing angst, you pop out the other side, right, I know what I'm doing. And then it all goes pear-shaped again. And then maybe you have kids, or maybe you don't. And maybe you wanted to and didn't. Or maybe you didn't want to and did. And then the kids leave home. And again, it's one of these points of going, well, who am I now? And all these roles that I've had for years, what do they mean now? You know, and again, when you retire, there's like at different points in our lives, we're trying to work this out. But the first thing is, what does God say? That list we had up. And then there's, what do others say? And that's a hard thing, because you've got to be able to trust people, because they can still say hurtful things and they can still get it wrong. So all the time, you're holding it lightly. So you go, right, okay, that's what you're saying. I'm holding that lightly because you don't have the same place of authority that God does in my life. So I'm going to test what you're saying against what other people are saying and try and figure out whether you've got a point. But we've all got a role in that. And this is my final thing. Is it's not just about us trying to figure out who we are. It's about helping each other to figure out who we are. So what is it that you say to others? This was the bit. I knew there was something else, and I was on the phone to John going, this is what I've got. And this is courtesy of John Young. But what do you say to others? How do you build them up? How do you encourage them in what you see that's good in them? Because so often, people give of themselves, and we say, thanks for that. But being able to go, hey, thanks for doing that reading. Really, really appreciated it. Because of the way you read it out, and because you were bringing something of yourself into what you read. So it wasn't just words on a page. Giving each other the encouragement of, I really appreciate what you've done, and this is why. And have you ever thought, you're really good with animals? Have you ever thought about working with animals? Or you're really good with folk? You thought about a caring role? Asking these questions of each other, because someone can go, no, that's not me at all. I know I did that, but I wasn't really comfortable with that, and I know I'm over here. Great, brilliant, go for it. But let's ask one another these questions. Is that making sense? We're helping one another, not to be tossed around on the waves, but to grow up mature, to find out where we fit in, to find out who God's made us to be. Because there's nothing more exciting than seeing somebody who is smack in the center of God's purpose for them, who's in that place of giving out of the love they've received from God. It's amazing. It's a wonderful thing. And the great mystery is that we have a role in helping one another into that place. So let's just chew on that for a second. I'm going to leave that slide up. And then John's going to come back and lead us in a song.